A verse in the reading that we had in Luke 19. But I don't want simply to concentrate on this one passage this morning. I want us to keep in mind a statement that is said in verse 41 of our reading, Luke 19. It says, "And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it." And I want us to consider the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ wept. Now, as I've said, we're at the beginning of our mission. We're at the beginning of the week that many people call Passion Week. And we are focusing on the great message that God has sent his Son into the world to save sinners. It is something about which we can become passionate. What does the word passion mean? Well, my Oxford Online Dictionary says that it is a strong and barely controllable emotion. It's something that we get excited about. And the main events of the Christian message happen during this last week of the Lord Jesus Christ and his life here on earth. Palm Sunday, as we call it, was prophesied nearly 800 years before the coming of Jesus by the prophet Isaiah. And a little later, something like 600 years, when Zechariah preached. And Zechariah says these words, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." God made this promise hundreds of years before. But in a way, he knew what was going to be involved in the events of Passion Week. He knew that his son was going to die. And you think, well, if you know that that's going to happen, if you've been given due warning, doesn't it make sense that you avoid death? Doesn't it make sense that you avoid such a crisis? No, because the very reason Jesus came was that he might die, that he might give his life as a ransom for many. This was the very purpose in him being here. But I said I want to concentrate on this little phrase, Jesus wept, or he wept. In our reading, we have got the story. Jesus is mounted on the donkey, on the beast of burden. He is riding into Jerusalem. He is coming around the Mount of Olives, and we read in verse 41, "When he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it." And Jesus is here weeping. About a week earlier, he had been in one of the villages near Jerusalem, the village called Bethany, the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. He had received the message that his friend Lazarus was sick. He didn't rush there to make him better, but he waited a few days, and in the end, Lazarus died. And Jesus arrived, and he asked where the tomb of Lazarus was. And we're told in John 11, Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping. He was deeply distressed in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said, "Lord, come and see." And then we have those two words, Jesus wept. So we've got Palm Sunday. We've got Jesus weeping, a matter of a week or so before Palm Sunday. But then when we fast forward to the Thursday night before Good Friday, we're not told that Jesus actually wept, but the description that we have there of Jesus' emotions, he was certainly passionate. And Matthew records it like this. He said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." What caused the passion? What caused the emotion in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ? I want to give you three answers this morning, looking at those three incidents, and to show you what it was that moved the Lord Jesus Christ to compassion and to an expression of emotion. The first one is the death of his friend Lazarus. And I'm going to give the answer here. What caused the compassion? What caused the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ? The first answer is the unchanging consequences, or as it says in Romans, wages of sin. Why did Lazarus die? Why does every human being die? There is only one answer. It is the result of sin. Romans says to us, the wages of sin is death. And Jesus is here in a situation that we've experienced in our church in the last few weeks, where he is visiting a family who have lost a brother who has become unwell. He'd received the message that Lazarus was ill, but Jesus had said, this illness will not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of Man may be glorified through it. Jesus in John 11 knew what he was going to do. But in this difficult circumstance, he uses the painful experience to teach people a truth that perhaps they wouldn't learn in another context. And he teaches them about being the resurrection and the life. In John 11, he says, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Jesus wanted to make sure that his followers believed the right thing. And I want to say this very practically. When God leads us through difficult circumstances in life, there is often a lesson that we have to learn. A lesson, perhaps, that we wouldn't learn in the ordinary circumstances of life. And here in the death of Lazarus, Jesus wanted these people to know that he was the resurrection and the life. He was the one who would give eternal life to those who followed him. Friends, I want to say to you this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ is not some teacher who is at a distance from us. He is not a God who is in the heaven and doesn't understand how we feel. John says to us that when he saw Mary and Martha weeping, Jesus himself wept. It was their tears, Hendrickson said, that led to his tears. But also, Jesus teaches us an important lesson. When God created this world, he created it very good. He created human beings with the ability to continue living. But when Adam and Eve sinned, when Adam in particular sinned, God said, "In the day that you eat of that fruit, you will die." And the facts are that because of the disobedience of one man, and also because of our own sinful disobedience, none of us will ever escape death. For as in Adam, all die, so in Christ, all shall be made alive. The reason that Jesus wept was the consequences of the sins of Adam and the sins of each and every one of us here this morning. I stand here as a sinner. Vinny asked when I was first converted. It was many years ago, at the age of 13. But who am I in the pulpit this morning? Am I a perfect man? No, I am a sinner who has been saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Jesus wept because every human being has to die because of their own sin. But let's come to this second example, the example of Palm Sunday, the one that we read about. And we're told when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it. In John 11, a week or so earlier, Jesus had wept because he saw the pain that his friends were going through because their brother had died. But here, he doesn't look at the city and see this person crying or that person crying. No, we're told that he looked at the city and he wept. Why did he weep over the city? Well, my second answer this morning is that he wept because of the tragic rejection of God's grace. Now, we use the word grace, but what does it mean? Grace is God's undeserved love. None of us deserve to be loved by God. None of us is good enough for God to say to us, I love you because of these good things that you have done. And Jesus looks at this city, and he knows what this city stands for. Back in the Old Testament, God had used King David to capture this city. And when David had captured the city and he had made it his capital city, he said, God, I want to build a temple for you in this city. And God said to him, no, you will not be the one to build the temple, but your son will be the one who will build the temple. And when the temple was built, God said to Solomon, my eyes and my heart will be there for all time. So Jesus looks at this city, the place where God has said that he will meet with his people, and he weeps because God's people had lost touch with the one true living God. Now, Jesus had been into the city on a number of occasions during the time that he preached. He'd gone into the temple, and just a few chapters earlier in John's Gospel, in John 7, he's there at a festival, and he stands up in the temple, and he says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. He had said to people, come and believe in me. Come and trust in me. I will forgive your sin. And he said that on a number of occasions. I will give you new life. And in this picture here, he's saying, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. He is saying, you can be the means of giving hope and encouragement and new life to other people, because you can give the message to those people. But here, on his final journey, he looks at this city and he says, God has met with people here. God has blessed this city on many occasions during history. But I have come to them. I have come to offer them eternal life. But they do not want it. Why is Jesus weeping on this occasion? He is weeping because he wants people to believe the gospel. He wants people to turn away from their sin because he knows that sin will destroy them and will separate them from God forever. He knows that he has come with the words of eternal life. But people will not believe. Are you like that this morning, friends? You know the message that has been preached from this pulpit since the beginning of this church. You know that the Lord Jesus Christ has come to give life. Not only has he come to give life, but he's come to give peace. And yet, people will not believe. Now, throughout history, there have been people who have said, if you do this, if you do that, if you do the other, you will find peace. But friends, there is peace in nobody else other than the Lord Jesus Christ. David was not allowed to build the temple because he had been a man of war and he had driven out the enemies. And God said, no, your son will build the temple because his reign will be a period of peace. But after that, false teachers came and they said, peace, peace, when there was no peace. And even today, people will say that. If you do this, you will have peace. But friends, I want to say to you this morning, you will never have peace with yourself. You will never have peace with your neighbor. You will never have peace with God until you have found peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you two examples, again from the Bible. There was a woman who had lived a very immoral life, and she went into the house of one of the religious leaders who thought he was better than anybody else. He looked at this woman, and she showed love for the Lord Jesus. She washed his feet, and she anointed them. And the religious leader criticized her and said, what is Jesus doing, allowing a woman like that to get anywhere near him? Jesus said to that woman, your sins are forgiven. And before she left the house, he said to her, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Friends, this morning, Jesus wept over the city because they rejected the peace that Jesus had come to give. On another occasion, again, it was a woman, and I believe that the Gospels give us many pictures of women because Jesus was revolutionary. He was challenging the practices of his day, and he was saying, women are able to come into the presence of God. Women are able to be forgiven. And there was this woman who had some form of hemorrhage, and she had suffered it for 12 years, and she could find no cure for it. And one day she was in the crowd, and she thought, I've heard about this man. He has worked many miracles to heal people. If I just reach out and touch him, I can be healed. And that's all she did. She didn't ask him to heal her. She didn't ask him to sort things out in her life. She came to him in faith. She came to him desperately. She came to him knowing that she had come to the end of herself. And as she touched him, Jesus was aware that something had happened, that someone had reached out to touch him in faith. He turned around and he said, who touched me? Who is it? And his disciples said, look, Lord, there are people all around you. They're pushing you. They're jostling you. What do you mean, who touched you? He touched you. She touched you. And then the woman came forward and she told her story. And Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Why did Jesus weep over the city of Jerusalem? Because there were people like these women who had come to Jesus in faith. But there were many, many, many more who had rejected the grace, the undeserved love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says to all of us this morning, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, and I will give you peace. Why did Jesus weep? I want to give you a third answer. And I want us to go a few days later after Palm Sunday. It's Thursday night. The Last Supper, which we now call the Lord's Supper, had been celebrated with the disciples. Jesus had said to his disciples, one of you will betray me. Jesus had said to Peter, you will deny me. And Jesus went out onto the mountain to pray, to the Mount of Olives, to the Garden of Gethsemane. Why did Jesus weep in the Garden of Gethsemane? Because of the incomparable cost of saving sinners. It's often said, isn't it, that salvation is free, but it is not cheap. There is no person in this building this morning that has to give Jesus any money, any time, any effort in order to be saved, because Jesus has paid the full price. It is free to us, but it was incredibly costly to him. We're told in Matthew's account of this great story. Then he said to him, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Luke tells us that he was so passionate, so physically into preparing for the cross, that his sweat became drops of blood. The tension in his body was so great that blood vessels burst and seeped out through the pores in his skin. Friends, do not think that Jesus went to the cross as some superhero, not suffering pain. He felt the pain of the nails. He experienced the piercing agony of that crown being thrust into his head with those horrible thorns. He knew the pain of having his back ripped with that horrible whip. That was bad enough. But Jesus was pure. Jesus was holy. Jesus had never allowed himself to be dirtied or to be sullied, to be spoilt by any sin. And yet, when he went to the cross, his Father said, son, I have chosen a people, and if you were going to save them, you have to pay the price of that sin. Father, I'll take that sin. You have to take responsibility for that sin. Father, I will take responsibility for that sin. And you could go through the Bible and you could look at the sins of God's people and you could say, Jesus has paid the price. You can go through history and you can look at some of the most awful sinners who have become Christians. And for each of them, Jesus has taken responsibility. Let me ask you, friends, are you prepared today in your Sunday best to go to a farmyard On Friday, people are going to walk through the wetlands. We'll be properly prepared and dressed for it, won't we? But will you go to a farmyard today and clean out the cowsheds, clean up after the pigs, and have that filth spoiling your Sunday best? That is nothing compared to the purity of our Lord Jesus Christ being smeared, besmirched, being made filthy with our sins. Why did Jesus weep in the Garden of Gethsemane? He wept because of the incredible, incomparable cost of saving sinners. Friends, we will never understand the cost of Calvary, but the Garden of Gethsemane, as Jesus prayed that night, shows us a man who was also the Son of God, who wept physically and spiritually out of love for his people in order to pay the price that would set them free. There were 3 hours of darkness on Good Friday. Why? Because God would not look on his pure, unadulterated Son as he bore the weight of human sin, as he suffered there, taking responsibility. And yet, the darkness cleared, the light came, and before Jesus died, he could say, "It is finished." Why did Jesus weep? He wept because throughout history, human beings have suffered the reality of death, and those of us who remain have known the pain of bereavement. Jesus wept because throughout history, prophets and preachers had come to the city of Jerusalem. He had come to the city of Jerusalem. He had preached peace. He had given peace. And yet people turned away. Why did Jesus weep? Because he knew that there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. None other could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. And yet he knew, he knows that there are those who will hear the message, who will understand the words, but who will never come to him in faith. This morning, friends, let me show you the love of God. Will you receive it? Will you believe it? Or will you, like the city of Jerusalem, cry, "Crucify. Get rid of him. I do not want this man to reign over us." Jesus wept, or as one translator says, Jesus burst into tears. Let me take you forward to the top of that bridge that Vinnie talked about, into heaven. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Do you want the tears wiped from your eyes? Then go to the one who wept for the sake of his people and ask him to forgive your sins that made Calvary necessary. May God bless us and help each of us to believe and to trust in him. Let's sing the final verses of that hymn that we began singing earlier, 252. Again, they'll come up on the screen. Verse 4, "They rise and needs will have, my dear Lord, made away. A murderer they save, the Prince of Life they slay. Yet steadfast he to suffering goes, that he his foes from thence might free." Let me invite you again to join us for the communion of the Lord's Supper. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, You are free to join us. If you don't know him, then we would ask you to stay, but please don't partake of the bread and the wine. Let's sing verses 4 through 6.